This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast. Here at Joy, we're proud to create avenues of communication between our communities and Victoria Police with regular spots on air with a representative from the organisation.
And this morning, we welcome back to Joy Breakfast the Victoria Police LGBTIQ Portfolio Manager, Jeremy, along with Sergeant Joe Warwick, a non-binary LLO that works in Jeremy's team. Hello to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
We're very excited to have you in on the week following Wear It Purple Day. Obviously, last Friday, big day for all of us. How did everyone at VicPol celebrate Wear It Purple Day?
Oh my gosh, we had quite a big week. I'm still rocking the purple glittery nails.
Your nails are looking very lovely this morning. Well, I feel like I'm being put to shame.
Ooh, yes, the metallic.
We started celebrations on Thursday. So we hosted 11 students from Footscray, came and presented to a large group of VicPol about their personal experience and what practical things police can do to support young people. So, so amazing, and just really proud of those kids for, you know, being able to stand up in front of a group of police and telling their story.
I know, it must be really intimidating is the first thing that I would think. Like, I think I would be intimidated no matter what, because suddenly uniforms come into play.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Your brain goes a bit of a different way. But Wear It Purple Day is a day about supporting young LGBTIQA+ people so that they're not bullied, they're not harassed, they're seen and they're made visible. So creating that space to be able to listen to them is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even coming into the big police building, like, they did so well. And they had there was a couple of teachers with them as well. And just knowing that they have these affirming spaces and people that they can speak to and chat to if they need. That was Thursday. Then Friday we did a rainbow flag raising, and then there was many morning teas and speeches, and also if you noticed a few buildings around Melbourne lit up purple. That was Joe was responsible for organising all of that.
Every year
we're pivoting to you right now, Joe. Okay, so how did that come about?
Probably about 5 years ago I started that. I was just contacting iconic building structures and just saying, look, it'd be great for you to light up purple, get Melbourne lit up purple to support and a visual sign of support for our rainbow youth. And I've just been doing that every year now.
So what does it mean to you? I mean, it must be wonderful for them to go, yes, yeah, it is. What does it mean to you when you see that actually come into effect? You see the buildings go purple, you see VicPol raising an inclusive flag. What does that mean to you?
I'm so proud of Melbourne and so proud of VicPol getting on board as well. Like, we even had our Victoria Police Centre lit up this year and last year as well at quite a bit of expense. So really, really proud to be able to go around that night and just see everyone coming on board and showing that visual sign of support for our youth.
Mm. There you go. I guess it's, not as simple as just going and popping a purple filter on everything like you can do online.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, we're not trying to diss when people do that as well, but it is a really wonderful thing to see these extra steps that are going on and the difference that they make. Like, I saw so many buildings lit up in purple on my social media feed. Like, it's absolutely awesome. And yay to you. I feel like we need an applause sound effect now.
Oh, okay, yes.
Because yay to you, because that is pretty, it's not a minor thing to do.
No, it's a lot of emails back and forth.
Yeah, of course.
And if you think about all the young people that would be walking around the city on Friday as well and seeing those buildings, I think that's where that power comes in, that they know that, you know, these buildings and these organisations and people are behind them.
Well, Wear It Purple Day is all about supporting young people. In what ways do LLOs and the LGBTQIA+ portfolio manager look after the young LGBTQIA folk in our communities?
Actually, that's a lot of work we do. You probably wouldn't know it, but a lot of the LLO's work is with queer youth, and really it's about creating a safe space for them and a safe person for them to speak to. And we interact with queer youth both in schools, in the home, And also just in their kind of social circumstances. So we do a lot of work with councils that lead queer youth programs. We do a lot of work in schools with wellbeing officers and welfare officers to make more inclusive and affirming spaces for them. We'll get involved if, unfortunately, if there's any bullying involved.
Yeah.
We would have conversations around domestic violence if there's any domestic violence in the home. Really promoting the LLO role and ensuring that if that queer young person is having any challenges or issues, then they can come to that LLO for support.
I'm quite curious, as like an LLO, if you were called about someone who was being bullied at school or whatever, would you go into the school in your, you know, rainbow police uniform and just like, you know, put your fist on the table and be like, stop being bullies? Like, how do you actually stop it as adults who are police officers who are like, you know, somewhat disciplinarian looking figures for young people?
Yeah, and that's a great question. It's a conversation that we do need to have with the people that are bringing the issues or the challenges to our attention. So say if it's a school, we would have a conversation around what does it look like for a police to come to the school? How should we interact with you and the young person? Because we need to make sure that every interaction is a safe, culturally safe interaction. We don't want to just walk in there in uniform, or, you know, we don't want to do anything that's going to create further harm to the young person. So yeah, we really have to have that conversation up front about what does our interaction and support look like to ensure, yeah, it's safe. So sometimes, you know, it is going in uniform. Sometimes it's doing a presentation to a whole year level at school around affirming and LGBTIQ plus awareness. Or, you know, it could be going in plain clothes to the school, so it's a bit more discreet. We could be doing a big care team plan meeting, and what that means is where we have VicPol, child protection, the school, the psychologist. We have a whole range of supporting organisations in the one meeting to support that young person. That support, yeah, is very nuanced for each individual, but yeah, it starts with that conversation around what that safe support looks like.
Jo, what is it like for you when you're working one of these events, you've got your rainbow kit on, and then you see a young person, what's their response like with to an officer in a rainbow kit?
They love it. Most of the community love it when they see us wearing our rainbow police badges on, and they come up and they're like, oh, this is great, can we have a photo? And it's awesome. So kudos to them if they approach us in the first place. And if they're standing back a little bit, I'm usually pretty forward, and I'll actually approach them and say hi and try and put them at ease so that they speak to us. But very proud if they can actually approach us themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about the having the rainbow on your uniform just makes you more approachable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we see that most effective with queer young people, because they're, you know, they may have never interacted with a police officer before. They've probably never had to, or never needed to. So to break down that barrier and for them to know that there's queer police and LLOs and allies, we notice that much more effective with that.
It does. I think one of the things I love as well, even when I see them out and about, is where there's some that are member of communities and some that are not. So it creates this great conversation where you actually get to find out, and that's a wonderful thing to experience.
Yeah, we're going to be right back with Joe and Jeremy right after this. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
We are joined in the studio by Victoria Police officers Jeremy Oliver and Joe Warwick.
Now, you were, Drag Expo had a lot of action happening. We were talking about it on air the week after it happened, with a little bit of a protest going on out the front of it a couple of weeks ago, which was a lot. And actually, I discussed this on air the morning after the show, didn't I, Rach?
Yeah.
That actually it was kind of amazing to go to Drag Expo, and there was amazing support by Victoria Police there, and also creating a very big barrier from the harassment that was going on. Can you, Jeremy, tell us a bit about how that all came about?
Yeah, so we is supported as LLOs Drag Expo last year. There's a few of us kind of walking around, and then fast forward to this year, we ITD Events offered us a stall inside the venue, which was amazing, and there was LLOs. But then outside, you know, we had information that led us to understand that there was going to be a protest from the right-wing conservative groups. So that's where, and this is a couple of months before Drag Expo. So we then kind of jump to action and start planning what that police response looks like based on the information that we have. And so we knew there was going to be a conservative group turning up to protest, and that's where you would have seen all the police out the front putting in those protective barriers.
Yeah, like, so Joe, you were actually inside, weren't you? What was it like actually being there and representing the force at Drag Expo?
Again, it was an honour and a privilege to be there. I manned the store for the 2 days, and it was just great to be part of community, as I am part of community, in amongst community. Great feedback from community, welcoming us being there was really good.
There was a very big layer of protection, not just with the protest out the front, but also at other entrance points within Drag Expo, with many of Victoria Police, you know, there to support and help people in. I think one of the big responses that I heard all throughout the day was people just blown away when they were crossing the road to be able to come, because the protest was happening on the other side of the road. Victoria Police were actually stopping traffic to let them go through, so they didn't have to experience that.
Yeah, and that was the key thing, is not only the, you know, that physical protest, it's also the psychological kind of harm that can come with this by seeing a protest group against community. And we're conscious that people are, like, a lot of queer community will utilize public transport, so getting to the actual event, we wanted to ensure that there was that visible police presence, so people did feel safe entering the venue as well from all directions.
So much work being done. Sorry, Joe, did you want
to... and from within inside, we had members come up to us, from community members come up to us and say, oh, we felt so safe. Great to see so many police, which, you know, we were a bit concerned that that may have also been an issue, having so many police there. But no, community's response was, I felt so safe coming in. It was great to see you out there, and amazing to see you inside with a stall.
Yes, that's so good. So just before moving along, we've had some really wonderful, uplifting conversations. We just need to touch on an important investigation that is underway in regards to some officers from Frankston Police Station being investigated for fraud for falsely claiming to be non-binary in order to claim money for civilian clothing allowances. Jeremy, first I want to aim a question at you as the LGBTIQ portfolio manager. How is this claim being addressed?
Yeah, so currently it is with our police standards command. So what we identified, that yes, it did happen. There were several police officers claiming the non-binary or self-described clothing allowance. So unfortunately it did happen, but it's currently being investigated, and that it's an ongoing investigation. And you would have seen in the news that several police officers were arrested, and there were some charges laid as well. But what we've also done is been able to, as an organisation, go back and rectify the process in which you claim this allowance.
Okay.
By putting no extra onus on trans and gender diverse employees that want to self-describe their gender. Because what we identified was that it was an automatic process that if you self-described your gender, you would automatically get this particular clothing allowance. So we've rectified that. It's not automatic now. You have to go through an extra step. And also there's policy and EBA negotiations to rectify having that kind of gendered allowance and a non-binary allowance as well. So we're currently... rectifying that process so then it doesn't happen again. And yeah, those police officers are under investigation.
Do they also just get sat down and be told, hey, this is actually the experience of non-binary people, and by you doing this is taking away from them? Are they getting, like, education, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Yeah, that will form part of it, because we absolutely understand for the gender diverse employee network that, you know, that can have really serious impacts. So that will form part of whatever, I guess, outcome or next steps for those people would be, is that kind of cultural awareness training. And obviously we've activated all of our support networks across your organisation as well to minimise that.
Now, Joe, you identify outside of the binary.
I identify as non-binary.
Non-binary,
yes.
What is it like for you to be able to have things like this within your workplace that create a space for you to be able to be yourself?
Well, luckily I am just out at work in all aspects of my life. So I'm very lucky like that. I know a lot of people aren't. And it's disappointing to hear stories and these things happening, because, as you said, you know, puts a bit of a dark cloud over those people like myself that are gender diverse and in particular non-binary. Sorry, did I answer the question?
No, you did. You absolutely did. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something more. Jo was nervous. This is Jo's very first radio interview ever.
I'm a joy virgin.
You are doing amazingly. No, you're doing an absolutely amazing job.
Well, if this email's anything to go off, you're doing great. We just got an email through saying, I'm really loving these interviews. The conversations need to happen to encourage understanding and education. Well done, Jo and Jeremy. Proud of you both. Yeah. So you're doing great.
I mean, obviously the way in which people are finding out about, you know, the what we were talking about before, the clothing situation with identifying as gender diverse, the way in which a lot of people have found out that it exists is not the most ideal fashion. But the fact that that exists within a workplace and creates that kind of support for people that do identify as non-binary and don't identify in, you know, those two categories is such an important thing to have in a workplace.
Yeah. Does VicPol do regular, like, diversity and inclusion training within the organisation as well? Is it part of your... training to become a police officer?
Yeah, we do quite a lot of training, and there's a lot of opportunities that we offer, but also that we've got in the pipeline as well. You know, 1 year ago, actually, we launched our Trans and Gender Diverse Employee Network. So it's just celebrating its 1 year anniversary. Jo's part of that too, called Tag Den, which we are so proud of. We've got, you know, we're a member
of Pride
and Diversity.
I didn't get through the accent. Tagged in?
Tagged in.
Yes. Tagged in.
How do I say it in an Aussie one?
Tagged in.
Tagged in.
Tagged. Just more at.
Yeah.
Between my sinuses, your accent, we're getting a lot of different voices coming through today.
It could have been tagged in, and maybe it stands for something.
You never know.
It stands for Trans and Gender Diversity.
Oh, that
network.
Makes sense. Yeah.
We do a lot of training with Pride and Diversity. We've got our own LLO training. We've got training at Academy. So, yeah, we have so many opportunities. We have a really safe and inclusive environment as well. So we now have gender-affirming leave. So if you... needing to access leave for anything that's part of your gender affirmation journey. We've got, lots of different things that we're working on to improve the workplace.
That's so positive. It just sounds like everything has come such a long way in such a short time as well. So congratulations to you all. And thank you again for joining us on Joy Brekkie to cover all of these.
Very quickly before I know we have to go, but I did notice, Jeremy, yesterday on your social media, you participated in the long walk, the second part of that from Windy Hill. We were talking with Jason from the Equality Project yesterday on the show and Leanne last week about the long walk. What was it like actually being a part of that yesterday?
Yeah, it was just so amazing. And we were talking about this on the drive too. The interview this morning. So we went down to Windy Hill to support Michael Long and the team for the long walk. And Jason was there from the Equality Project. So they organised for a cohort of queer community to come down, support the long walk.
So the long walk, everyone, is basically a walk that started on Sunday. It's happening from Melbourne to Canberra. Yep. To Michael Long is retracing his steps from the walk he did 19 years ago and is getting the Torres Strait Islander and Aboriginal people's issues back on the national agenda by doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's to coincide with the 20th anniversary and it's really to promote the yes vote for the voice to Parliament. So, yeah, we went down to support. Rural Pride Victoria were there. We're all there to in solidarity to support the yes campaign.
It's starting today from Epping now. So it was a nice thing to be a part of and to be able to support, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd jump online, look up the long walk to see when it's coming past your area and go and support them. You can walk for a bit if you want. You can go to the morning formalities. But any way you can, get out and support.
You could probably just stand on the side of the street and high-five them if you're not a walker person.
Yeah.
It's true.
Hand them a chocolate bar or something.
Oh.
You
know? Oh, yeah. That's a
brilliant
idea.
Okay.
Look, every little thing we do can make a difference. I love that coming out of the interview, then seeing that in your social media, that the conversation's happening. It's leaving from Epping today. We're going to be sharing more about that over the next coming weeks here on Joy Breakfast. But we want to say thank you for coming and joining us this morning on the show.
Thank you for having us. Yes. Always a pleasure to be here.
And we'll catch you again next month. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au.
Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.